Hello, this is Do Go On. I'm Matt Stewart.
And I'm Taran Jayamana.
And we're in Sydney. And we're about to be in Brisbane. And we're doing live shows. They're called Dryer Dryer. And also, Who Knew with Matt Stewart in both those cities. And you can get details at mattstewartcomedy.com. Anything else you want to tell the good listeners at Do Go On, Taran?
Well, the whole point of this was you thought that it might be more engaging if you had a different voice. But you've said most of the information. So, hey, come see us in Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah, that was engaging.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching.
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I used to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke, and as always, I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Oh, come on. I feel like you're putting Matt Stewart first a lot lately.
I honestly try to mix it up week to week, and I didn't know where I was there. And I thought, you know what? Someone that will let it go is Jess Perkins. But Matt over there, he would be fuming. He would have stormed out.
Yeah. I get a real bee in my bonnet over these sort of things.
Yeah, you've got a real tally going on.
Yeah.
I think the last 25 episodes or so, I think Matt now is on 13, Jess is on 12.
Okay. Hmm. Oh, there you go. Well, you know, and that
like I know, right?
That makes me think, how good is it to be alive?
Yeah.
Great to hear it.
Feels so great.
Preach it, brother.
Hey, Jess. Uh-huh. You're so good at explaining things. Can you explain to new listeners how this show works?
Absolutely. So, I'm Jess.
Great.
That one's Matt. You say something.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And that one's Dave.
This one's Dave.
The three of us, together combined, are Do Go On.
Do Go On. Damn, I thought we'd all say it.
Voltron.
Oh. We are Voltron. And we take it in turns each week and have done for so many weeks to research a topic, bring it back to the other two, and tell them all about it. And they listen politely. They never go on dog shit riffs. And we're always very respectful of one another. Mm. And we usually get onto topic with a question. It is my turn to do a report this week.
And do you have a question?
I sure do.
Okay. Love it.
My question is, in 2015, mm-hmm. what were Mr. Ginger, Mr. Strong, Mr. Montana, the gent, the tall man, and the old man responsible for?
Ooh, oh, they're definitely cat names, aren't they?
Really? I thought they were Spice Boys.
Oh.
Ginger.
Maybe Spice Cats.
Oh, Spice Cats, Spicy Cats.
It is not Spicy Cats.
Well, they sound like they're going to be responsible for a crime against fashion.
Why is that?
Is it some sort of fashion heist?
It's not a fashion heist.
Tall man. Is it Mr. Men related at all? There's tall man. Mr. Ginger.
Sorry, I put the wrong emphasis there. It's not a fashion heist.
Okay, so bank heist.
It's pretty much a bank heist, yes.
Whoa, that's exciting.
Wow.
It's a.
We've gone heist.
I know.
We've become the heist
pod. We're the heist pod.
Well, like.
Every now and then we talk about Nicolas Cage or Indiana Jones, but mostly it's heist.
Well, this was voted on by the Patreon, so they're obviously in a bit of a heist mood.
Yeah.
You know, I gave them other options that were not heisty.
I can't get enough.
I love a heist.
I love a heist.
And every time, it's like the crime of the century, the biggest thing ever. And I'm 100%. Like, how many are there? And then you hear it, you go, that is actually one of the most audacious ones ever. But there's so many.
Yeah. There's a lot of crimes of the century.
Humans are great at crime.
Oh, man, we're good at it. And yeah, so this has been voted on by the Patreon. It's been suggested by a bunch of people, including Alex Ryan, Johnny Dawson, Haig Cruikshank, Ronan Williams, Jennifer Welliver, Charlotte, and Sam Lacey.
What about Tall Man? Did Tall Man suggest
Tall Man did not suggest it.
But that's a sign that this is going to be a ripper.
It's a bit of fun. It's a fun story.
Those names are amazing.
And it's quite recent. This is in 2015.
You're right.
So...
what country? I guess we'll find out.
I guess you'll find out if you just shut up. Literally, actually, you'll find out in the fourth word.
Fourth word.
All right. I can't wait.
Fifth word. Damn it, because I've just realized I've left a word out. Sixth word.
This is...
Are all these words counting?
This is a good sign early on. Your first sentence, you've missed a word.
I've just missed the word is. Our story... No,
read it without is. Read it without.
It's not read it is, as it's is. In. Yeah.
Okay, don't say
I'll
is.
I'll read it without.
Exactly, as the writer intended.
That's, the writer is me. Our story takes place London's famous Hatton Garden.
Ooh.
The centre of the UK's diamond trade and home to over 300 jewellery businesses. The area takes its name from Sir Christopher Hatton, the famous English Lord Chancellor and politician in the 16th century. That's about all we'll hear about Christopher Hatton. But Hatton Garden, it's just an area of London with lots and lots of jewellery shops.
Fantastic. I've been there a lot.
Have you?
Do a lot of diamond shopping there, get my rubies.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you visit? The diamond guys?
Yeah, the
diamond
guys.
Sit down, have a beer. We know diamonds, so you don't need to. You have those ads?
No.
On sports radio.
Of course.
I actually prefer...
So your missos forcing you to propose. We'll make it easy and a bit of fun for you. We've got NRL on one TV. AFL on the other.
You don't even have to look
at
the diamond.
Of the 97 grand final on a different screen.
Well, I'm not going to that. We lost.
We got a pool table.
Why'd you pick out the grand final the Saints lost?
No, the NRL grand final.
Oh, NRL grand
go
final.
Go Roosters or whoever.
Whoever. We've got beers. We've got topless sales assistants.
Oh, my God. Bringing around diamonds on a tray.
Is that really a thing? What's it called?
It's called the Diamond Guys. I'm thinking I'm going to do a fake ad in my show about them.
Love it.
And I think maybe I've just found the voice for it.
I want to do it. Let me do it.
I want you to do
I'll
it.
I love to take the piss of men. Good on you. If you don't, you know, it can be intimidating going into a jewelry. Now that I think about it, actually, maybe there's something in it, you know?
But
maybe it's a bit intimidating.
It's very funny that they're lowering their inhibitions before getting them to
totally.
Make a big purchase.
Yes.
And saying that, hey, look, guys. We're letting you have a beer. Why don't you have another beer?
Yeah. And another one.
You look this. You want another beer? Now let's start looking at a more expensive
range
of diamonds.
How much do you love her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another 5 grand's worth? I mean, can you put a price on love? Yes.
You know what? I really love her.
Yeah.
Well, we better go to the top shelf diamonds. Yeah.
And if that horse gets scratched, you get the diamond for free.
It's very funny, but also like... a man could just walk into a jeweller and say, hey, I don't know a whole lot about diamonds.
Yeah, that's why I always go to my preferred jeweller, Angus and Coote.
That's a great name.
That's a great name.
They're always in shopping centres. It makes me laugh every time.
Coote.
Oh, one diamond, please, Mr. Coote.
Or Angus.
Or Mrs. Angus.
Thank you.
Mrs. Angus,
Mr. Coote.
Together they are Angus and Coote.
They're back to back. We've gotten distracted very early. So on the evening of April 2nd, 2015, staff at Hatton Garden Safe Deposit LTD. So it's a safety deposit business.
Yes.
Rather than a bank, but they're essentially a bank.
It was similar to the Brinks one.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It is my dream one day to go into one of those vaults where you have like your little drawer and they give you the key and they say, probably in a French accent because it's usually in Europe.
Yeah.
Just let us know when you're done.
So Jason Bourne. You want to be Jason Bourne.
I was just thinking the same.
I want to be Jason
Bourne.
I just
watched that recently for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a gun in there.
Yeah. And passports or something?
What does it all mean?
He's like, who am I?
But
did you finish it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because you do get an answer. No spoilers. But you find out.
But you figure it out.
You're like, who is this strange man? Oh, well, I only had 15 minutes, so I turned it off. We'll never know.
It's April 2nd, 2015. Staff are locking up for the night and looked forward to the next 4 days off work for the Easter long weekend. When they returned on Tuesday morning, they discovered a terrible sight. They had been burgled.
Oh, my God.
So we're coming up to the eight-year anniversary. Mm. This will be coming out just around the exact time.
Yeah.
8 years. What is that? Is that the diamond anniversary?
The diamond guy.
Every anniversary is a diamond anniversary to those guys.
Oh, your third one. You know what that means. Diamonds.
Gotta update those diamonds. Women love fresh diamonds.
They love them fresh.
The fresher the better.
Smell that? That's fresh.
They've got like just bread baking in the back just to make you be like, that does smell good. Because men can't tell the difference between bread and diamonds.
And every time you go past the bakery, you're like, I need another diamond.
I need another diamond. Fuck. I love my wife.
Yes, and her diamond's getting a little stale at home.
They don't last very long.
No. Jeez. Unlike our love. Over the four-day weekend, thieves had broken into their secure vault and stolen an estimated $14 million worth of gold, jewellery, money, the works. Some estimates are way, way higher. Some are like £300 million.
Right. But I guess it's one of those things where inside the box you could have whatever.
Exactly.
So you don't
right.
have to tell them.
Yeah.
I suppose until you claim the insurance. But then, so and then you just lie. Yes, I had $14 million of cash in my small box.
Yeah. So estimates are varied, but a lot of them sort of settle around £14 million. Given advancement in security, technology and CCTV, bank robberies and break-ins have become less and less common. One article written for The Guardian in 2016 says bank robberies had dropped from 847 nationally in 1992 to 108 by 2012. In London, the number fell from 290 to 26 in the same period.
That is awful. All those thieves out of work.
Yeah.
They just have to, you know, thievery had moved more modern, you know.
But now they're just sending text messages being like, hi, it's mum here. You haven't paid your e-link account.
Hey, mum, it's me. I've lost my phone. Please send me $25,000.
Yeah, delete this number, mum, and message me on WhatsApp. Mm. That's what I got recently. I'm like, who's fallen for that? And I'm like, oh, mums.
Yeah. I saw one in an article that was so specific. It was like, hi, mum, your daughter here, like didn't say obviously the name. And then it's like, something happened. I dropped my phone in a toilet. Now, like this crazy convoluted story as to why they couldn't send a photo of them and all this sort of stuff because their phone fell in the loo.
It totally makes sense that it would catch people because if you do, like if it just sounds like your daughter's voice or whatever, you'd probably be like, you know, there'd be enough that you put out 1,000 or 100,000 of those messages. You're going to get some takers.
Speak very robotically.
My daughter does drop stuff in the toilet.
Yeah.
Normally poop.
English is her fourth language.
I just confuse my phone with my poop again.
Her sentence structure is confusing at times. That article also says that that type of crime had largely been replaced by cyber thefts. For an old school crime such as Hatton Garden, there was a vastly depleted pool of the usual suspects to be put under surveillance. So who were these usual suspects?
Mr. Spacey?
Kaiser Sose.
Also, the names that I mentioned before in my question don't come up a heap. Okay. It's just like one newspaper article. I thought it was pretty funny.
Fantastic.
Oh, right.
And I think one of the people suggesting it just put like all those names in there, and I was like, "That's good stuff."
So they are some of the suspects.
Yes.
Tall boy.
The tall man.
Johnny Ginger.
Well, we start off with 76-year-old Brian Reader, who's the governor.
Fuck, that's so good.
Or the master,
played by the brick hat guy.
The governor. Yeah.
Brick top.
Brick top
for sure.
No thanks, turkey. Sean, sweet enough.
He was no stranger to crime. In fact, actually, I think he's been played by Michael Caine.
Oh,
but more of a gentleman.
He was said to have moved in the same circles as some of London's most notorious criminals, including the infamous Kenneth Noy. Noy and Reader found an undercover police officer spying on them in the grounds of Noy's home. Noy stabbed the officer 11 times. They were both charged with murder, but Reader and Noy were acquitted of this crime after Reader claimed he wasn't there and Noy claimed he acted in self-defense. So he's got like a pretty varied criminal past, Brian Reader. He'd been involved in a similar robbery in 1983, a crime for which he received an 8-year sentence for conspiracy to handle stolen goods. So he's now 76. In his crew was Terry Perkins.
No relation.
No relation. 1967, who was an extraordinary character, according to his friends. He'd served 22 years for his role in the 1983 Security Express robbery, which saw £6 million stolen, also over a long Easter weekend.
It's interesting that it is the older fellas, because you're, like you're saying, it's sort of a dying art.
Exactly.
So it's just they're still at it.
This is what they're good at.
Whereas the next generation.
Yeah, just doing cyber theft.
Yeah.
From their homes.
Oh, just doing cyber bullying instead. Yeah. Lucrative industry.
I just remember that I had my bank hacked.
Mm.
Can happen to more than just mums. Can also happen to doofy boys.
Doofy boys.
Hi, doofy boy. I've lost my phone.
I'm still not sure. They did it by, like, I forget what they call it, but they basically stole my phone number, not my phone. And my phone just stopped working, and I'm like, what's going on here? But it turned out that they'd somehow taken my phone.
Oh, wow.
Number. They, like, ported your number or
ported
something?
Ported my number, yeah, yeah. And then they used that to get into the bank account.
See, all of that jargon means nothing to these 70-year-old
exactly.
men. They have no idea what you're talking
Michael
about.
Michael Caine doesn't know.
Yeah, Michael Caine's like, yeah, I'll port the money.
That's not how it sounds,
I'll port
Dave.
Your money. Oh, yeah, Michael Caine. Hello. My name is Michael Caine. I'll port the your money. And I'll hand it to you quick. Quick stat.
No, thanks, Turkish. I'm sweet enough.
Can't believe they recast him.
God, we're good.
Gosh, he was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do the old school port, which That's is, right. you know, a bit of dynamite, tie it to a bit of iron,
mm-hmm.
get the mini in there, pull it off.
Yep.
And then celebrate with a glass of port.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
simple.
Simple. The simple. Good old days of crime. So Terry Perkins, he'd escaped from prison in 1995 and was at large until 2012.
Ooh. That's a you never hear him getting away for that long.
That long. I love that. Then he was recaptured back to prison and he was released from prison not long before the heist in Hatton Garden. The gang also included veteran criminal John Collins, 74, who had a rap sheet going back over 50 years.
Another older man.
Yeah, they're all old.
is this called the old man robbery? Please.
Pretty much, yes.
But it has been made into a film?
A few films.
Oh, who else is it? I think I've seen a preview for an old man robbery. Michael Caine and maybe.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. I've got it at the end. I can't remember what it's called.
Joe Pesci. Is he there?
No, not Joe Pesci. Jim Broadbent's in it.
Maybe Morgan Freeman.
King of Thieves is what it's called.
Morgan Freeman's in the old man movies. I'm thinking of a different old
You're
man movie.
Of a different old man movie.
With Joe Pesci.
I don't know one with Joe Pesci.
They go fishing or something. No, that's a different one again. Okay. That's the one with the guy from Lethal Weapon. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you've both got your laptops out now.
Grumpy old men.
So you're both Googling movie titles.
Okay. We should be.
I don't think I'm King of Thieves just to see.
Things that aren't.
I'm not familiar with it, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it. I don't think it was on any of the streaming services I have, but or maybe I could rent it. Anyway, but I didn't watch it because I don't want to watch it beforehand and then be like, and then this happened, but it's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Michael Gambon.
Yeah, exactly. Dumbledore's in it.
Oh.
Anyway.
The dead Dumbledore or the live Dumbledore?
The live Dumbledore.
Mm. Huh, that makes sense. Yeah, this is not what I was thinking. Joe Pesci's nowhere near it.
I wonder what you were thinking. So we've got John Collins from a great article from Vanity Fair. This is how he describes John Collins. He was a classic London villain, a dodgy but elegant figure in the streets of London with his beloved Staffy Dempsey nipping at his heels. His legitimate business was high-volume fireworks importation.
That's great cover. It's almost weapons adjacent.
In fact, he was a walking pawn shop. He'd buy cars, expensive watches, and sell it back to you later, said a friend. Diabetes had exiled him into semi-retirement, and he was reportedly growing deafer and more forgetful by the day, which is only worth adding because it's again, just adds to this image of just these old men robbing a bank.
That's
something kind of fun and cute about it.
Just to stop the people yelling at their iPods, the one I was talking about was Going in Style,
yeah.
2017 American heist drama comedy film. With Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman.
So, and then I'm pretty sure King of Thieves was like 2018 or something.
Right.
So Michael Caine just backing him up.
Yeah. Heisting it up.
So that was John Collins. His nephew, William Lincoln, was the getaway driver who was said to have had a major role in the movement of the goods after the heist. He conveniently left the country 2 days after the heist and told the judge at the trial that he thought the bags his uncle had given him were just bric-a-brac. Oh, I didn't know it had
I thought they were
gold
bibs and,
jewels in it. I thought he was just giving me little knick-knacks, bric-a-brac, you know, uncles, am I right?
Yeah, they love junk.
I love junk.
They love giving
elderly
it to
uncles.
You, they love giving it to you to take on holiday overseas.
We also had Danny Jones, 58, described by friends as a gentleman who liked a laugh and a joke, who had burglary convictions going back to 1975. One friend said he was eccentric to the extreme and a bit of a Walter Mitty, obsessed with palm reading and known to sleep in his mum's dressing gown and a fez.
Fez is not a good sleep.
You have to sit upright.
Yeah.
He's sleeping in an armchair.
That, of all the hats, that doesn't have a nice tight fit.
What's the best sleep hat? Well, probably a sleep hat.
Yeah, one of them, you know, like.
Yeah, like a Santa hat.
You know, Captain like, Snooze or.
Ebony yeah. Screws style.
What's the point of those? Just to keep your ears warm or something?
Yeah, I was wondering about that recently because I saw a movie where it was a recent movie and the guy and it was wearing like one of them Ebenezer Scrooge style nighty sleep dresses. I'm like, what? When do they go out of fashion? They're fantastic.
Do you want one?
But the hats, I guess it's to
keep your head warm. I feel like my head would get too hot.
Yeah, I can't sleep in anything.
But
it's
we
too
don't
hot.
Live in really cold climate.
But when you're in an old Scrooge and you don't want to keep the fire burning, you've got a cold house.
Gotcha.
You've got to keep your head warm.
You can't sleep in anything.
Oh, no, in a bed. I can. I can sleep in anything, I should say. But I just get to, I run hot.
Yeah.
But apparently, is this true that men run hotter than women? Have you found that?
I am the hot one.
Okay. So that's.
Oh, that's not true. Aiden will sleep in like tracksuit pants and a jumper and have the blankets right up around him. But to touch, he is scorching hot.
Oh, he just likes.
Yeah, he likes it. Whereas I'm like, it's slightly warm. Get this blanket off me.
Yeah.
Someone told me recently it was
a man or woman.
Well, it doesn't sound like a Jess.
Well, no, but he does run hot, but he seems to like it. But yeah, I think that's true. I believe so. But, you know.
But this guy's wearing a dressing gown.
I'm one of the boys.
Yeah.
I run hot like the boys.
Dressing gown and a fez.
And a fez.
Incredible.
A bit
combo.
Of an eccentric.
He does sound.
His mum's dressing gown. What does that mean?
I reckon she's probably dead.
Okay. So he's just trying to stay close to his dead mum.
Was it his dad's fez?
Yeah. Just remembering his parents at bedtime.
Sleeping in his uncle's bed.
Another co-conspirator was Carl Wood, also 58. He was involved in the planning. He isn't really one of our main characters, but he'll come up again.
Right, do they call him the young guy? Because he's only 58.
Yeah.
All right, young man.
Yeah. Spring junior. Chicken. Junior. And then there was another man known only as Basil. A mystery man to police, theories were thrown around about him being a current or former police officer or potentially an insider of the building. But we don't know who Basil is.
Maybe a future police officer.
Whoa.
A current or past or future. Or never policeman.
Now that's covering all bases.
Yeah. Four states of being.
You are either currently a police officer, formerly a police officer, in the future a police officer, or never.
Yeah.
The heist. The men had begun looking at the Hatton Garden area in mid-February. They finalised the plot in the weeks leading up to the raid, often on a Friday night at the Castle Pub in Islington, North London.
Wow, so they're really keeping it on the down low then.
They would just meet at the pub.
All right, who's robbing this pub then, eh? This pub? I'm in bank. Oh, no.
All right, lads, let's all get a table. We'll talk through our plans of robbing a bank. You know, just really announcing it.
It sounds like it's addictive.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Like they've all, none of them can stay out of it.
Well, it's that classic, the same of those plots of all of these movies. It's that classic, like, one last job kind of thing. And it's like most of them have faced jail time for other crimes. You'd think you'd be like, no, I think I'm done. But they're like, one last job, imagine.
Yeah. I guess you think you're 74, you either spend the last, you know, 5-10 years of your life living in luxury or living in jail.
Yeah.
Take the risk.
Oh, I don't know if it's worth the risk.
I don't think so either.
Because you also don't know if you only have like a couple of years left or you could have like 20.
Right.
And then you're
but
like, fuck.
If you go see the guy with the dressing gown and fez, he reads your palm. He tells, that's why he's there.
Oh, he's the Walter Mitty type, isn't he? I wouldn't have known what that meant until you said he liked reading palms and stuff. Now I'm like, oh, if I ever hear Walter Mitty again, I'll be like, oh, yeah, the palm reader.
Bit of a kook, hey?
Yeah.
Bit of a daydreamer.
Oh, right.
In their research and planning, several of them visited the building numerous times. They're like, what's it called? They're
casing the
joint. Casing, thank you. I was in my head, I'm looking through the S words.
Oh, yeah. Yes, steakhouse, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess so. By March 12, Collins had been to Hatton Garden at least 5 times. It's believed the men may have posed as customers wanting a safety deposit box in the vault in order to get an idea of the layout and security of the vault. Hello, we would like to look at a vault to put our diamonds in. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. Higher pitched voice.
Hello.
That's how the posh people sound.
And what time do you lock the vault? Do you always lock or do you sometimes forget? And if you did forget, could you tell me?
Could I have that key, please?
No reason.
If you forget, could you tell me?
Thank you.
Could you let me know?
And what's your middle name?
I don't know. It definitely has that air.
I don't know if I said this seriously, but I heard, and this may not be true, but the word posh, sometimes, you know, they'll do these, make up a story later for its origin, but someone was saying that it comes from when the best rooms on a ship in the olden days were the side that got more sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from America to England or something. And that would be port side, outbound, starboard,
home.
And that's where supposedly.
Oh.
But that sounds like that could be bullshit, but I'm not sure.
I've heard that.
Oh, you have heard that too?
But I don't know if it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But who have you been hanging out with lately? You've heard that men run hot. You've heard about posh. Who have you been hanging out with?
Yeah. I was trying to think who was telling me.
Do you have other friends?
The men run hot guy was saying that. I'm
the
like,
men
why
run
is
hot
that?
Guy.
I can't remember who it was, but he was saying that he thinks it's because nerve endings are different in men and women or something. I'm like, hey, that sounds scientific enough for me.
Nerve endings.
Something about nerve endings.
Okay.
This sounds like a 3 a.m. conversation.
Yeah, this could have been at the pub when I was talking about this new high school. Oh, my God, I've said too much.
I don't know why.
Nerve endings.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer.
Well, you've flipped it all on its head.
Why, just by, but I've agreed with you that the man is hot,
uh-huh.
But he doesn't seem to care.
He is a hot man.
He's a hot man.
My God, he's a hot.
So honestly, something like you are uncomfortable. You are so hot to touch.
Right.
What are you doing? I like it. Okay, well, whatever.
It's just self-saunering.
Yeah.
Sorry. They've staked it out.
They're casing the joint.
Been 5 times, which seems like the bare minimum to me. You got to go in there a few times, I reckon.
They've been around a lot, yeah.
Got to show your face.
Yeah.
That's just Collins, too. That's just one of them's been there 5 times. Okay. The others have been around a bunch, too.
Wearing different mustaches?
Of course.
Yeah.
This is from The Guardian. By 31st of March, the gang were so brazen that they were not just wandering in and out of the 8-story building, but playing with the lift. Perkins was spotted in a small elevator in the building, wearing blue overalls and surrounded by tools and building equipment. So he's like, figuring out the lift, how to disable it or whatever.
I press number 2 and it takes me to the second floor.
Okay.
Yeah, is it the same with every single
making
level?
Making a note in a journal.
Only one way to find out.
All right, lads. Here's the thing. Try to keep up. So, you go in this magic box, yeah? They got 3 of the things. All of them do the same thing. You press a number and bobsity boopsity boop, you're on that level.
No one knows how it works. Could be teleportation. Is there a way we could teleport in there from the pub?
How comfortable are we all using dark arts? Yeah.
Guessing that was the Dumbledore actor was playing that role.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't watched the film, but I'll let you know.
He's a wizard who teaches Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Oh, you hadn't. Sorry. Hadn't seen that film.
Yep. Dumbledore? A lot of this timeline that I've got for you next is based on a really great article in The Guardian written by Vikram Dodd in 2016. So April 2nd, 8:25 p.m., John Collins parks a white van outside the building at 88 to 90 Hatton Garden. Basil, wearing a red wig, opened the door of the building.
I wasn't wearing a wig. I thought it was going to be like jacket or something. And then it was like.
Dave, there's nothing funny about red hair, mate. He's just laughing at the idea of someone.
Imagine.
Matt looks like he looked at me like, the fuck?
Imagine choosing that.
Snickered. I thought it was going to be red hat, red jacket, red. For some reason, red beret even came into my head. Yeah. These people are. Oh, red fez would be quite appropriate. Red wig. Okay.
He was dressed up as Ronald McDonald.
He opened the door of the building, having gained codes for the door, and a key. So it's quite easy.
Can I borrow that? Yeah.
Can I have that? Having gotten to the building, Basil waited until a man in a neighbouring business had left, then, with a black bin bag slung over his shoulder, opened a fire escape door to the building. So he's inside, he's opened another door to let the others in. Brian Reader, Terry Perkins, Daniel Jones and Carl Wood entered the building, unloading bags and tools along with two empty wheelie bins. They were wearing high vis to look like workmen doing some kind of maintenance. Brian Reader was also wearing stripy socks and a distinctive scarf, which feels like a bit of a silly move. Don't wear anything really distinctive and recognisable when doing a crime.
Stripy socks and a scarf.
Yeah.
He might get chilly.
Yeah, you never know.
And maybe is he framing someone up? Like he's wearing, you know, someone around town is always wearing that scarf.
Oh, wow. Tom Baker.
Tom Baker. He's wearing the Tom Baker scarf. He just forgot that Tom Baker doesn't have red hair, unfortunately.
It's a different one. It's a different one.
Oh, a different one.
It's
oh, my
okay.
God.
All right, yeah. He's dressed as Ronald, framing Ronald. And the other guy's dressed as Tom Baker, framing Tom Baker.
Meanwhile, John Collins had obtained keys to a building across the road and was acting as a lookout for the heist. Apparently, though, according to some of the others, he just fell asleep. But he was the lookout in a building across the street. They were communicating only with walkie-talkies so that their mobile phones wouldn't place them at the scene of the crime.
Imagine
later.
Being able to sleep in that scenario.
Yeah, just have a kip.
I'm just nodding off here.
They're old. They sleep anyway. You put them in a comfy chair and they're out, you know? Yeah. No, Grandpa.
Yeah, one of them can sleep in a dressing gown and a fez.
Yeah, true.
You are a few years off being able to just sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
Just nodding off. So, you know, you laugh, but...
Yeah, you mentioned it.
There he goes. No, Grandpa.
Imagine falling asleep whilst recording a podcast. That would be so funny.
Maybe a bit brutal. I think the only good scenario is falling asleep during your own, because otherwise it's such a slap in the face to the other two, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
I've worked on this.
It took ages. So they got their walkie-talkies and they're chatting through those and they move swiftly into action. The vaults were deep underground and the gang were on, I think they're on the second floor. So one of the lifts was jammed.
Oh, no, they didn't know how to use it.
No, they jammed it.
Oh, okay. Right. One of them said, what's this emergency stop do? Oh,
God damn it.
Do we have to do the diagram again? Only press the numbers. And if you're feeling generous, you hit the open button to keep it open for other people.
They jammed the lift on the second floor and then went like down the stairs or in a different lift down to the ground floor, which meant that the lift shaft was open. So that allowed them to use the lift shaft to descend down to the basement level where the safe deposit vault was.
Genius.
Basil disabled the alarm only partially, but enough so that he could cut the power to iron gates safeguarding the lobby to the entrance of the vault. So these could now be pulled open and machinery brought through by the gang. The gang cut through a second iron gate and now faced a thick, reinforced concrete wall. This is from Vanity Fair as well. Now at last, Danny Jones was able to apply what he'd spent so many nights studying on YouTube.
Oh, that is so... It's like I've been watching James Bond movies in 9 segments.
I've got this.
I'm going to do this.
Anchoring the Hilti drill to the floor and concrete wall and connecting it to a water hose for cooling and reducing the amount of dust, they began boring through the concrete.
This is the YouTube video, how to bore into a bank vault?
Yeah, pretty much. The drill made only a quiet, water-splattering hum as it breached the concrete wall. Within 2.5 hours, 3 overlapping circular holes had been cut through the concrete. So it took them 2.5 hours. The hole was about 50 centimetres deep, 25 centimetres high and 45 centimetres wide. So it's pretty small.
Yeah, okay. Why's the depth and the height different?
I think...
Well, because it's how thick the wall is.
Oh, it's a, yeah, I'm picturing it drilling into a wall. Sorry.
Drilling straight across.
I'm like, wait, the depth and the... Wait, how does the hole go up?
Do you know what depth is?
A vision. 50 centimetres into the concrete floor. And then I'm like, the hole also goes up. Are you... What, into the... They're drilled through the air first?
Matt's living in a two-dimensional world.
And it sounds pretty small, but it's like... I've seen a picture and it's 3 overlapping holes. So they must have, like, gone through once and then moved it across, gone through again.
Right.
So it's still... It's a tight squeeze. And so 2 of the men, police believe it was Basil and Danny Jones, managed to crawl through the tiny hole and into the vault.
This is why you've got to have some small team members.
That's right.
Ocean's 11 proved that.
Oh, yeah, the guy that does all the flips, the acrobat yeah. stuff.
There will genuinely be a reference to that exact character
Great.
All
coming up.
My God.
Our house when I was a kid got robbed. My Discman was stolen. I still haven't gotten over it. But
did you have a CD in it?
I did, yeah. I lost all my Friends of Rom CDs.
Oh, they had good taste then.
Yeah. My Anima of the State CD.
Great taste.
Some of my Pantera albums. Yeah, brutal. Brutal day. Dick Sandwich was gone. And you can't get it anymore.
Oh, my God. Collector's item.
But the window that they smashed to get in, the hole was so small. Like, who's done this? And my theory was that they had a small helper monkey. Uh-huh. Right. So they smashed the window and then they'd send in this trained monkey
yeah.
to go and who's, you know, is into pop punk and
yeah.
groove metal.
And it couldn't have been that they could put a hand through and open the window that way?
No, wow. It wasn't that kind of window.
Wow.
It wasn't an openable window, yeah. So, and it was way away from a door or anything. So it was strange, like it was really just, and shards of glass surrounding it. So,
I mean, in a way, good on them.
Yeah, exactly. Hats off to them.
Sounds impressive.
I got a better CD player and better Discman.
So, oh, great.
Yeah, it had like, shockproof or whatever and extra bass. It
didn't jump.
That's
why it always sucked. You'd move and it would go, like, sorry.
This is going to be so confusing to some kids out there.
To youths.
Yeah.
Back in the
CDs were a way to play music back in the old days.
Back in the day, we used to have helper monkeys for our robberies. We now know that's cruel.
So having somehow squeezed through the tiny hole they'd cut into the wall, they're basically at the back of the metal cabinets that house the safe deposit boxes. The cabinets were bolted to the floor and to the ceiling, making them incredibly sturdy. They had a jack with them, which they'd used to pry open the steel doors to the lift, and it had a 10-ton hydraulic ram. Don't ask me what any of this means. I don't understand it.
Oh, I need to ask you. I know exactly what it
means. Yeah, me too. I watched the YouTube video.
Their plan was to use the ram to push over the safety deposit boxes.
Jack was the name of a ram. I get it.
That's right.
So you got a jack and ram.
Yep. Unfortunately for the gang, while attempting to push over the cabinets, the jack broke. The rest of the plan had gone.
You never jack too hard.
No.
Is honestly a lesson.
People don't realize that, but you can jack
too hard.
And you actually can ram too hard as
well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's even worse.
Yeah, you can snap that thing right now.
You got to be careful when you're jacking and ramming.
You got to warm up.
The rest of the plan had gone fairly smoothly, and this was the first hurdle that had occurred. But that was all it took for Brian Reeder, the leader of the gang, to bail.
What?
He was like,
leader.
I'm out.
Fuck this.
He'd been like casing this joint for so long, and was sort of like the alleged leader of this group, and he's just like, fuck, the jack's broken. I'm out. And so he leaves. He's gone.
Okay. He just walked home.
I think, sometimes you cut your losses.
Yeah. The rest of the gang tried to work out other ways to get into the safe deposit box, but eventually also left just after 8 a.m., almost 12 hours after they'd arrived the night before. But remember, it's the Easter long weekend.
Oh, they can go home and watch more YouTube videos.
No one's back to work for another few days. They have time to have another crack.
So they could probably check out the Good Friday appeal.
Yeah, make a donation.
Yeah.
Reimburse themselves for that donation later, hopefully. Yeah.
Andrew Datto, if you do 10 push-ups, we'll make it $50.
Also, some young people confused by that.
I think there'd be old people confused by that.
So they've got time to have another crack, and that's exactly what they do. So on the Saturday, the 4th of April, Danny Jones goes to a store called Machine Mart. And he buys a new pump and uses his own surname and address for the purchase.
Oh, well, otherwise you're not going to get the warranty.
Yeah.
He was quite clever, though. He did use a different first initial, V, which was his partner's first initial.
Great.
So that night, around 10 p.m., the gang goes back to Hatton Garden.
And did the leader come back, or is he just bailed? He's like...
He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's out.
Wow, okay, right. But everyone else has gone back?
Yeah.
Curious to see if he gets done for it.
This time, it's Danny Jones, Terry Perkins, Carl Wood, John Collins, and Basil. Apparently, at some point early in the evening, Carl Wood also decides to bail. He follows in Brian Reeder's footsteps. He leaves.
Brian Reeder, the leader. I'm sorry I didn't catch that before.
Yeah, me. That's a good one.
And I love that Basil's still involved because you said before that he's still mysterious. Mm-hmm. The cops aren't sure who he is.
The mysterious Basil.
So the four remaining men break back into the building and found everything just as they'd left it a couple of nights prior. The second night, the gang used the jack as a ram to smash the metal cabinets over, and finally, they were in. They were then able to pry open about 73 of the 550 safe deposit boxes, taking everything they could. I think originally the plan was that they would have several nights, or, you know, like they'd be able to do this across several nights and get everything, but because of, you know, the issues they had, they're just like, let's just get what we can. They still get open 73 of them. The haul included jewelry, gold bullion, cash, emeralds, sapphires, diamonds, luxury wristwatches, and rings.
Okay, well, to summarise, what would you call it? Bric-a-brac?
Bric-a-brac. booty.
Yeah, okay.
They needed wheelie bins to stash the loot and took an hour to move their haul and equipment out. By 6:44 a.m. on Sunday, they'd left the scene.
Straight to church.
Straight to church for the 7 a.m. service. That's the one you want to be at.
Up the back with a wheelie bin full of gold.
We're not going to leave it in the car, am I? I'm
imagine,
an idiot.
And they've timed that perfectly because they can convert that into discounted Easter eggs.
Perfect. Monday morning.
Monday morning.
They're all marked down.
Oh, my God. Half price. Oh, if they're on God. The floor, they're out the door.
Yeah, exactly. You've got three times the buying power. Four times in some cases.
That's the best. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Cheap Easter eggs. Which brings us to where we started, 8 a.m. on Tuesday, after a long weekend, staff coming back to work and noticing that they've been burgled. Police were obviously immediately called and arrived at the scene to find dust, debris, and scattered safety deposit boxes. Power tools, including an angle grinder, the Hilti drill, and crowbars had been left behind, but the crooks had been smart enough to wipe the tools down as to leave no fingerprints.
You've got to clean up after yourself.
Yeah, clean as you go. Yep. Important rule.
This and other evidence, or lack thereof, led police to think they were probably dealing with experienced criminals. Police believe the crooks had purposely used bathrooms on different floors to the one that they were working on, again, as to not leave behind any, like, very clear evidence.
Oh, DNA.
So if you've got to go, you have to go upstairs.
I mean, they're there for, like, 12-ish hours, you know? You're going to have to go.
Older gentlemen.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to go a bit.
But that probably also means they're wearing nappies.
Oh, that's true. I mean, if they were smart, they would be.
Sorry, they're not nappies. They're
incontinent,
but they're like pants. Big boy. They're cool man undies.
But yeah, like that would be smart to do that. Hughesy did that once. He had to do that for a gig one time.
What do you mean?
Hughesy, the comedian. Yeah, he wore an incontinence pants, I believe, because I'm sure,
like,
I heard him tell that story
somewhere.
I think he was, you know, he just loves to gig, and he was crook, but he did it anyway, and he's like, just in case I'm wearing incontinence pads.
In case he shat himself?
Yeah. Hope I'm not making that up.
And like, okay, great. Good thinking. But also, if you're so unwell that you're not going to be able to control shitting yourself, is it not also going to be quite obvious to the audience when you're standing on stage grimacing?
Oh, it's happening! Anyway, so I was at home with the family.
How do you just keep talking normally through that? You don't. Your voice changes and people know you're shitting yourself.
They did. Well, you just got to time it in a laugh or a pause break.
As you stop for a drink of water and just...
Yeah, you really hope the laugh keeps carrying. If it's not as funny as you think it is, they're going to hear it.
That's horrendous. Don't do the gig. Anyway, no, good on you. So, annoyingly for the police, there was very quickly quite a lot of pressure on them to solve the case and to do it quickly.
Annoyingly.
Well, the reason for this is that when Basil had partially disabled the alarms, the alarm had sent a warning to police who had ignored the warning. So, right, they almost could have caught them, but they were like, it's nothing. So the robbery was also catching a lot of media attention and caught the imagination of the public. When video footage was released, newspapers nicknamed the criminals Mr. Ginger, Mr. Strong, Mr. Montana, the Gent, the Tall Man, and the Old Man. Brutal to be the old man when they're all old.
They're all old. Come on.
It's like, what, I look that much older than them? That's
the
rude.
Gent would be great.
The Gent's a great one. Okay, what would you like? You'll obviously have Mr. Ginger.
Okay.
I'm Mr. Strong.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not Tall Man.
Mr. Montana, the Gent, or the Old Man?
Well, I think I'd like to be the Gent.
Yeah, you'd probably be the Gent.
No, Matt, you could be the Gent.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Matt's the Gent. So then you've got Mr. Ginger, Mr. Strong, Mr. Montana. No, I'm Mr. Strong.
I'm probably Mr. Montana then.
Yeah.
Because what does that mean?
Big exactly. Scar. Is it Montana like the American state?
Yeah.
That's where Yellowstone is set.
Was he wearing like a big hat?
Yeah, is he like a cowboy or something?
I don't know where that comes from.
He might have been the one carrying the gun.
Yeah, and they're like, ooh, they didn't have a gun. It was the only, it was one of those crimes that people kind of rooted for. Like, no one was physically hurt, and it was a safe deposit place that was burgled, meaning the people who were robbed were also the mega wealthy.
And it's also, it's one of the rare ones where there's not even, they're not even take like traumatizing any staff.
Yeah, exactly, you're right. Yeah.
Nobody was there. So
yeah, out of all the crimes, I'm rooting for this old man.
Exactly. From a different article written for The Guardian, this one's by Duncan Campbell. Imaginative theories were rife, as were movie references. A spectacular project crime, planned in detail, is much like a film script, with roughly the same chance of coming off. The headline of the Sunday Express on the 12th of April read, "Police hunt Pink Panthers over jewel heist." The story suggested that the gem thieves may be part of the infamous Balkans-based Pink Panther gang. By the 23rd of April, Ocean's 11 was part of the equation. The Daily Express asked, "Did gem gang use a contortionist?" speculating that there must have been someone similar to the Amazing Yen.
That's awesome.
The Daily Mirror reported that an expert had revealed how Mr. Big is likely to have hired elite thieves from Eastern Europe and Israel to pull off the operation. The BBC broadcast a documentary that included an interview with media gangster Dave Courtney, who suggested that the stolen jewels might have already been smuggled out of the country, stuffed up a racehorse's ass.
Okay.
Are we trusting this media gangster?
I do.
That's what a funny stab in the dark that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And also to be broadcast on the BBC.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
I like how some people were like, the cultural cringe there so much that they're like, well, what, none of us could have pulled this off.
Yeah, it must have been.
Must have been someone from somewhere else.
Exactly.
English people certainly aren't able to pull off such a great heist.
And yeah. Well, we would never. So the police are pretty keen to nab the guilty criminals quickly, clean up the mess, save a bit of embarrassment. And because it's caught the public's imagination. Like I mentioned earlier, these criminals were old school and technology and security systems had improved quite a lot since these crooks had started out in their criminal careers, which means that police had a lot more resources to lean on to crack this case. They combed through CCTV footage from neighbouring buildings and around the area of the crime. They saw CCTV footage show the van pull up out the front of the burgled building, the van that they arrived in, and that's when they were able to spot a white Mercedes parked out the front of the building half an hour before. This car belonged to John Collins, the one who'd been a lookout in the building across the street and who'd driven his own car to the crime scene.
And then fallen asleep.
Oh, boy.
A quick search of the system told police that that car parked out the front of the crime scene belonged to Collins, the man with 50-plus year criminal record.
Oh, God.
So
it's a coincidence.
They're like, well, maybe it's worth looking into. So they bugged his car to see if he had anything to do with the crime or if this was just a strange coincidence. Very quickly, the bug revealed it was no coincidence. Police were able to overhear conversations between the criminals, basically admitting to the crimes. And this helped lead to the rest of the gang. So then they're placing bugs in a few different cars and just like, you know, they're just incriminating themselves and each other by talking about it.
Are they all just on the car phone?
Yeah, because they can't track that. And they've there's like excerpts of some of the stuff they've said. It's like, the biggest robbery in the fucking world we was on, they chuckle as they discuss how to dispose of the goods. The biggest Tom robbery in the fucking history of the world. Tom is jewellery. Much of their conversation is taken up with chastising Rita and Wood for withdrawing from the burglary at the last minute. Both as bad as a fucking other. Bottle out at the last minute, supposed to be a full-on face, and this one you walk away from. So they're just incriminating themselves and others. One of the most hilariously ironic parts of their conversation that was captured was when police sirens can be heard in the background, and one of them remarks to the other that he paid 900 quid for a gadget that you fit to the car that will let you know when police were within half a mile, and he's bragging about this gadget while police are listening to their conversation. Like, they knew not to take their mobile phones with them to the crime scene, but then they still use their mobiles afterwards and talk to each other in the car and, you know, and it's like, there's other ways like you could be under surveillance.
It sounds like the big mistake was just that drove his own car to the
scene. Yeah.
That's how they got on to him.
And maybe they would have anyway, but that was certainly a nice, easy start for them. I love this part from Duncan Campbell in The Guardian. There's been much recent talk about whether the police should be required to have degrees. The same might be suggested for professional criminals who would be taught that, apart from watching what they say in potentially bugged cars and abandoning their mobile phones on a daily basis, they should also be careful what they search for online. After Jones was arrested, his computer indicated that he had been looking at drilling online and drill tech sites as far back as April 2012. And he had a book, Forensics for Dummies.
That's the same book that The Hollywood Bandit hat.
Oh, yes.
He had one of the... Guys, come on.
Well, the book promised that now everyone can get the lowdown on the science behind crime scene investigation. So he'd been looking up the drill and he had forensics for dummies.
And he had a box set of CSI Miami. It was all pointing one way.
I mean, get the book, read the book, sure. But don't keep the book after the crime.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also get a VPN.
Yeah.
Or...
wipe your search history. Does that do it?
Yeah, but they're all...
that does it, right?
But they're all old. Exactly. They don't know that stuff.
Get your nephew to do it.
He doesn't realise he's actually tweeting all these things. He's not Googling them.
Yeah. How to drill in bank vault. Send.
Search. Thank you, Google. The gang didn't fall for the temptation to spend their loot quickly. In fact, they didn't show off their newfound wealth at all and avoided changes in lifestyle that would attract suspicion. And they plan to sort of let the publicity die down a little bit.
Great. So that's because that's old school. That's what you would have done in the past.
Yeah.
Like they get the old stuff, but not the new stuff.
It's amazing that they've had time to even do that, seeing as they've given themselves up.
Yeah. Well, there's a
cops
really-
are still waiting for more evidence or?
Yeah. And there's a great chunk here from Vanity Fair, which sort of goes into like the lengths that the police went to. So the thieves were trailed by detectives, observed by lip readers, bugged for many days and nights in their cars, and videotaped in their favourite bars. And the Flying Squad was astounded by what they heard. The Flying Squad's the branch of the police. Three of the thieves, Perkins, Jones and Collins, were recorded bragging about how they did the heist, what they stole, how they were going to dispose of the goods. The biggest robbery in the fucking world we was on, which is what I just said, said Terry Perkins in just one of many endlessly incriminating statements. Brian Reader was snared by the surveillance detectives in one evening in May, a month after the heist, when the Flying Squad dispatched an operative with a hidden video camera to the castle pub where Reader sat.
In his hat? Was it in a hat? Please tell me it was in a hat.
I don't know where it was.
Very large hat.
Where Reader sat drinking with Perkins and Collins. In the middle of the pub, Perkins pantomimed for Reader the moment that Danny Jones and his 10-ton hydraulic pump knocked over the massive wall of safe deposit boxes to allow them entry into the vault. Boom, Perkins exclaimed, according to a lip reader who deciphered the conversation. Now, look, as somebody with just, you know, a tiny bit of lip reading experience, boom's a fairly clear one.
Yeah.
Especially with the accompanying gestures. I think we didn't necessarily need the lip reader on the case for that one.
It feels like they were going to be found out eventually.
Yeah. They're just being a little bit careless in the aftermath.
A little bit.
Even though they're not
they're
spending...
They're getting cocky.
Yeah, they're cocky with telling the tale.
Yeah, they think they got away with it and they're forgetting that they're in public places as they're having these conversations. This is still from the Vanity Fair article. According to Johnson, Jamie Day spent hours and hours transcribing recordings and unravelling the East London dialect and slang. A lawyer at the trial compared the work of deciphering their conversations to the work done by Shakespearean scholars. So funny. Damning as these recordings were, it still wasn't enough to arrest. It's obviously.
Really?
Yeah. So this is from one of the police. It's obviously good, said Paul Johnson, but you have to say to yourself, what would happen if we lost this evidence? We've still got to have a case without it. You've still got to work your way through everything else and make sure you've got enough to corroborate what they're saying. If you don't, they would have the option of saying that we're just a bunch of elderly fantasists who were talking a lot of old nonsense in the car. So we've got to prove that that's not the case. They had to catch them with the goods.
Right. That's not enough for a warranty to... A warranty? A warrant? Oh, that's my nickname for warrants. A warranty, a warrant-ish, or a full warrant?
No.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching!
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I use to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So on 19th of May, 6 weeks after the heist, it was decided the gang would gather all the loot. They'd sort of split it up and hidden it in various places so that if one person was caught, the entire haul wasn't lost. But they decided, you know, it's probably been enough time. Some of this publicity's died down a little bit. So they make plans to meet at an address in Enfield. Potentially this was for the slaughter, which is just what you call it when you're divvying up the loot. This was the point where police chiefs decided to pounce with the suspects and their haul all in one place. 200 officers staged raids and the gang were arrested.
200?
200. Well, I suppose there's quite a few of them. In total, there's like 9 or 10 people here. There's a few others that are kind of co-conspirators and stuff like that. So it's a lot of people. Maybe they're like, we need to really outnumber them.
Plus, they don't carry guns, English cops. So, you know.
Just got to wag their finger at them.
So you get like...
None at all?
Yeah.
Oh, and I think certain crews have them.
Like, but just like your beat cops.
But I think your average cops don't.
If I remember the bill correctly, they call in SO19.
Right. They're the ones who are allowed to have...
With the guns.
Guns.
Our cops have guns.
Yeah.
Huh.
They give guns to any cop here.
Yeah. First day of the job. First day of the academy. Here's your gun. Don't lose it.
Any questions? Oh, we don't have time for questions.
The trial was long. I won't go into the really tedious details. On the 9th of March 2016 at Woolwich Crown Court, three members of the gang, John Collins, Daniel Jones and Terry Perkins, having pled guilty to conspiracy to commit burglary, were each given a 7-year prison term. Carl Wood and William Lincoln were found guilty of the same offence and also one count of conspiracy to conceal, convert or transfer criminal property. Lincoln was also given a 7-year sentence and Wood was sentenced to 6 years. The alleged ringleader, Brian Reeder, who gave up at the first hurdle, was sentenced to 6 years and 3 months.
Stiff.
Still got him.
And there was also another man, Hugh Doyle, and according to Wikipedia, Doyle was found guilty of concealing, converting or transferring criminal property. He was jailed for 21 months, suspended for 2 years, and he was also fined £367 for his general criminal conduct in January 2018. I just liked the idea of a fine for just general criminal conduct.
Miscellaneous.
Okay, you've just been a bit naughty.
Yeah,
okay. All right? £367, thank you.
How about the leader getting... No discount for bailing. You'd think he'd be like,
all conspiracy.
I didn't actually do it.
And he got some of the. They still split the money with him.
Really?
Oh, did he they? Got some.
Pretty sure.
Okay, fair enough then.
But what about Basil?
Basil, the mysterious
mystery
Basil.
Man.
If he's a mystery man, you've got to think that maybe they never got him.
Well, Basil's identity was a mystery. For a little while.
Oh!
I just had a sip at the wrong time. I don't know if the mic picked up that spit take.
Wow. mystery for a while.
Several articles written at the time talk about the mystery man, yet to be discovered. But apparently police identified Basil by the end of November 2015, as in it's a similar kind of thing where you were just saying before, like, what if they – but that feels like they have enough evidence. They're pretty sure it's him, but they didn't have enough evidence. So he ends up sort of out loose for a lot longer than the others.
And the others obviously didn't rat on him.
So, but by the end of November 2015, around 7 months after the crime occurred, they were pretty sure they knew who Basil was. And Basil was, in fact, 55-year-old Michael Seed. Police had captured footage of John Collins meeting up with Seed in the weeks following the crime, but had no idea yet that he was involved. From the Daily Mail, Seed was uncovered as Basil from his walk after an expert podiatrist concluded that footage of the mystery criminal showed he had a particular habitual gait, an abnormality in his right leg. Dr. Gordon Burrow said Seed walked a bit like Charlie Chaplin. He had an abduction of 19 degrees in both feet, which meant they turned outwards at a wider angle than normal. And in 1994, Seed had metal pins inserted in his femur after a motorcycle accident left his right leg shattered. So his walk was a bit of a giveaway for him.
Right.
That helped them identify him.
That's disappointing because I've got quite a specific gait.
Yeah.
Quite bouncy.
Meaning to say that.
I think that I'd probably give the game away. Sorry about that. I'll have to skateboard in.
Mm.
It's the only way.
Wheel him
can
in.
You skateboard?
Oh, I could 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you can watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be right.
How to skateboard. That's what gives me away.
So Seed was arrested in March of 2018, almost 3 years after the crime had occurred. And apparently in that time he'd, like, travelled overseas and the police were kind of monitoring him the whole time, but they didn't have enough, so they were just – they let him go and just kind of kept watching him for a while until they had enough.
You think you'd probably move overseas, wouldn't you? All your mates have been arrested.
Yeah. Just go.
Go to Spain.
So it wasn't until March 2019 that Michael Seed was found guilty of burglary and conspiracy to burgle and was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Whoa. He get more for staying loose?
It was 10
hanging
years.
Loose.
10 years for burglary and 8 for conspiracy to burgle, the two running concurrently. So,
I mean, the best way to cop one a sentence is concurrent, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like, so I got a free hit at one of these crimes?
Yeah, I guess so. But what about the money?
What about, what was the word they used for jewels?
Tom.
Bric-a-brac. Yeah, Tom.
What about the Tom?
Well, of the haul, and remember estimates were anywhere from 14 to 30 to 300 million. £4 million worth has been recovered.
£4 million.
And although estimates say it's worth around 14 million, it could be a lot more. So a lot of that money's gone.
Sick. Well, I guess Basil probably
spent a lot
fair
of it.
Bit of it over those 3 years.
In January 2018, a confiscation ruling at Woolwich Crown Court ruled that John Collins, Daniel Jones, Terry Perkins and Brian Reader must pay a total of $27.5 million or face another 7 years in prison.
Whoa.
So never essentially heard of that. Pay it back.
Or
more time, more jail time.
Right.
No, so I don't like that. I don't like that as a rule. I think if you are good at hiding stuff as a criminal, all the better. Good luck.
Would you say that to the person who stole your Discman?
Yeah, because insurance got me a better one.
Yeah.
If they return it, would I have to return my one with anti-shock resistance or whatever?
He's still using it.
Gosh, your technology would have gone backwards.
Yeah, okay.
Once you've had anti-shock, you can't go back.
That makes you think.
Have you heard Gary Goldman's got this great bit about Discmans? Look it up. Do yourself a favor. I won't butcher it here now.
Great. Just a little tease there. they're ordered to pay back
$25 million. So they just
$27 million.
So they just start like a Kickstarter or something. What do you do? You can't make that kind of money.
Well, they're assuming like if they've only recovered $4 million, these guys all have the money somehow in assets or.
How much longer will they do in time?
7 more years.
How much money is your time worth to me? 7 years for $27 million. I'd take time in jail.
Would you?
I'd go to jail for 7 years to get $27 million bucks.
Really? What would you do if you were in your late 70s?
That's in total,
70s?
Not each.
Okay.
Yeah, a little
that's
bit.
True. The clock's ticking.
Yeah, they're all old.
Well, Perkins actually passed away in prison in February 2018, just a week after this ruling.
That'll show him.
I think he'd been unwell. In August of 2018, Daniel Jones had his sentence extended by 6 years and 287 days for failing to return $6.6 million. On the 1st of August 2019, Collins was sentenced to an additional 2,309 days for failing to comply. So basically none of them paid back any of the money.
Jesus, I don't know if I like that they used Collins, days there.
I know, that was confusing.
Sort of like, you know, how they talk about babies' ages.
In weeks.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's do it in years.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
Days?
He's 32 months. Fuck off.
Well, they're going to start doing it in minutes now?
At the point where they can tell you their own age, let's stop with months.
I'm 46 months.
You know? So what does that mean? Are you at school? I don't know. Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Gregory.
Yeah, if you could tell me your name and age, let's ditch the months.
Arnie Jess, you don't remember me? I'm
Shut
Gregory.
Shut up, Gregory. Get Arnie Jess a sherry. Michael Seed was also ordered to pay back his share, and it was estimated that he'd pocketed around $4.7 million. He paid back $50,000, and even after the amount to pay back was dropped to £600,000 from $4.7 million, they were like, all right, just give us $600,000.
I like their bartering. Love
he
this.
Still didn't cough up the money. So last year in 2022, he had an additional 6 years added to his sentence.
Wow.
So they're all like, the ones that are alive are still in prison. The theft was described, like Dave said at the start, as the largest burglary in English history. And it's inspired numerous representations in film and TV. It's a subject of three films, Hatton Garden, The Heist in 2016, The Hatton Garden Job in 2017, and King of Thieves, starring Michael Caine, Jim Broadbent, Michael Gambon. It looks like a lot of fun. That was in 2018.
Wow, so 16, 17, 18.
Ridiculous. Yeah, how do you sustain an audience for one story?
Yeah, true. And this is like, you know, in the couple of years after it, or it's still an active, and especially for those earlier ones, Basil hadn't been caught.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Kind of interesting. A little silver lining though. I mean, that's the end of the story, but just a little silver lining. Some jewelers have claimed that the heist actually helped their business due to increased publicity of the area.
Oh, that's great
news. I think that's nice, isn't it?
Glad the jewelers got a break there, man.
Yeah. So they saw an increase in money. So that's nice. But yeah, there you go. That is the story of the Hatton Garden heist.
So I just thought for people to picture what we're talking about, what was the movie called again?
King of Thieves.
King of Thieves. So we had Brian Reader was Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Perkins was Jim Broadbent.
Yep.
John Kenny, who's that? He was Tom
John
Courtney.
Collins.
John Collins, right. Danny Jones was played by Ray Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Gambon was Billy the Fish. What's it?
I don't know who Billy the Fish is.
But they added in, maybe they added in characters. Billy the Fish Lincoln, sorry.
Yeah, William Lincoln, I think of that. But then he was like the nephew of John Collins.
Ah, I don't,
IRL.
IRL. Oh, I see.
But they've also just made him another old man.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
Ray Winston.
There you go. I'm keen to see the movie.
Yeah, it looks like a bit of fun.
You know, Michael Caine, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong with a heist movie.
Yeah.
This is why I think maybe it's a fun idea for us to, after we finish Phrasing the Bar, congratulations to Brendan Fraser, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. At the time of recording, he's just won the Academy Award for Best Actor.
And we can't help but feel like we played a pretty big part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess we're waiting for our thank you fruit basket from Brendan.
By
yeah.
putting our monthly podcast behind a paywall,
yeah.
we have elevated that man back to the top.
That's right.
I think we started the Renaissance. I really do.
Yeah.
But yeah, after we finish up that show, it could be a fun new movie podcast for us to do is movies based on doing on topics perhaps. Because stuff I'd love to see King of Thieves.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd love to watch all three of those movies.
All right, that's probably going a bit too far for me.
No, pick one. Yeah. Pick one per topic, probably. Probably the better one.
Can't believe there's three in 3 years.
I know.
Well,
I guess it's their version of Chopper. We've got so many different versions of Chopper, you know.
Right.
All those Melbourne Underbelly guys. Well, that brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show. Jess, you know what this is. What is this all about? Who are we here to thank?
We are here to thank the glorious people who support us over on patreon.com/dogoonpod. And there's many levels, there's many rewards. You can get access to 3 bonus episodes per month. You can be in the Facebook group. The loveliest section of the internet.
Oh, my God. It's so lovely.
Get early access to live shows and tickets and all that sort of good stuff and just help this show keep on running.
And who can forget voting rights? They chose
That's
this
right.
topic.
They did.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. This was like There was like one vote splitting the first and
second. Really? And this is between hundreds and hundreds of votes.
It's more, I think.
That's incredible.
It was wild. So,
did you go for like three different heists or three very different kinds of topics?
No, they were all like, I think I put up four widely different topics.
Yeah, cool.
And of course, they chose a heist. They couldn't help themselves.
Dave, are you keeping the heist run going next week?
It's an adventure.
Okay.
I like
heart heist, of that. I guess. If stealing hearts.
Yeah. Heart heist. we spend about half an hour at the end of each week to just thank and appreciate some of our great supporters. The first part of this we like to do is for people who've signed up on the Sydney Scheinberg level or at patreon.com/JiggerOnPod. We do a section called Fact, Quote, or Question. Has a jingle go something like this?
Fact, quote, or question.
Ding. He always remembers the ding. And she always remembers the sing. And the way this one works is we read out four of them and they've given us a fact, a quote, or a question, or a brag, or a suggestion, or many other things, really. And this week, first up, we've got Phil Bourgeois. Am I saying, or Burgess?
That's got to be Bourgeois. I'm not even looking at it written down. It's got to be Bourgeois.
Bourget. I don't know. I don't do well with words and reading. And Phil has given himself the title of Vice President of Vices and Precedents.
Ooh.
And Phil's giving us a recipe.
Okay, great.
I added a few more options in the drop-down menu for the
nice
submission form. And Phil writes, a weird drink recipe to share with you. Oh, I don't think we've had a drink recipe before.
No, I'm not sure that we have.
Great.
Jess, I wonder if you could use this later in the Triptych Club.
I won't.
This was passed to me by my dad, who picked it up from an A&W restaurant from his youth. A&W, if you don't know, was a drive-in style restaurant serving burgers, fries, and root beer floats. Ooh, spiders. According to my dad, they briefly served a drink called a Mad Dog. I love this already.
Love that.
And this is what I'm sharing with you today. Grab a pint glass or a glass beer stein. Fill it half full with your favorite root beer. Then fill the rest with your favorite orange soda.
No, root beer.
We don't really have much root beer here. I always picture it to be like ginger beer, but it's not, apparently. It's something different. This is good enough to drink, but for a proper Mad Dog, place a quarter dill pickle spear into the drink and stir briefly. So you've got half root beer, half orange soda, then
a pickle.
A dill pickle spear. I was raised with this, so I may not be the fairest judge, but I genuinely think this is one of the best non-alcoholic drinks out there. Give it a try.
Okay. I'd be up for that.
Yeah. When we go to America, we gotta ask for a Mad Dog.
Yeah.
And I assume everyone confused them.
Right away.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil. The next one comes from Tim Livingston, aka at best 10 liters of laughs. I think that's a reference to a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. On one episode, a question was, what was this comedian's stage name? And I said 40 liters of laughs.
That's great. That's really funny.
Which I think, I think it was Alexi and Jack Druce were on that episode and they said that it would be a good name for a festival show of mine one year. And I'm like, I think that's a good call.
That is a good one.
40 liters of laughs. That's either a coincidence or that's what he's referencing. Now, Tim has a fact writing. During the shout-outs on the Chippendales Murders episode, Jess gave someone's dance act, for want of a better term, the name Lyndon B. Johnson. Dave, you won't remember this because you were getting ready for work while we were thanking our great patron supporters, because Jess and I, you know, really believe that it's worth our time to make them feel special.
You see, this is work.
Wait, what? You see it as a time to get ready for your...
Yeah, that's right. I'm stretching right now. La, 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 la.
Tim continues, well, you may not know that Johnson was possibly the sexiest of the US presidents. Why, you ask? Well, he apparently had gigantic testicles such that he needed custom-tailored pants.
Wow.
This sound clip gives you an idea. Love you guys. Okay. Well, I don't know if I can play... Guess I can see if this... That took a twist that I was not expecting. I thought I was going to say people didn't realize that he was a dancer. But no,
I thought so too, that he was going to be nimble on his feet or something, but no, he had very large testicles.
Large balls. And that clip is a 4:40 clip.
They were saying there that that makes them the sexiest president?
Yeah.
Because of their large testicle size.
I got to tell you, I'm a little confused by Tim's logic here.
But a fact that I'm happy that I've learned.
Yeah.
Happy to know it.
Lyndon B. Johnson, big bowls.
The B's for big, the B's for bowls. Should be Lyndon B.B. Johnson. thank
it's
you, Tim.
Yeah, it's confusing because it's not a big Johnson.
No.
It's a big bowl.
Small Johnson, big
bowl. Small Johnson, big bowl.
That's honestly the
Worst combo. The worst.
Yeah.
Oh.
You'd prefer it the other way around.
Just for aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger the bowls, you know, comparatively, it makes the Johnson look smaller.
Yeah, actually, it's a regular size Johnson, but it looks small.
But you want small balls.
Yeah, really
and then,
small.
And then it makes everything else look bigger.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Well, I can finally say that I've got something in common with Lyndon B. All right, Austin Horst up next.
Big balls?
Yeah. Austin Horst is up next. Okay, something witty that references some obscure riff from several episodes ago.
That's good stuff.
Well played.
Woo!
And Austin has a question writing, hey guys, hope everyone is well. It's been a bit since I submitted a fact quotal question. I keep forgetting to throw one in. My question is, what have you been watching or binging lately? Now, Austin answers the question, as we always encourage
the
question askers to do, writing, I've been watching Felicity. I decided to give it a go after it came up on a recent episode of Phrasing the Bar.
Yeah.
The episode of, it was called...
Well, it had Kerry Russell in it.
Kerry Russell and Harry Sinford.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but it was something like Extraordinary Measures.
Yeah, that was it.
I think that was it.
So close
and
to
I
that.
Said, I want to watch Felicity.
Yeah.
And I watched the first episode and I was like,
And I thought it was Alias, so there you go.
Austin also says, it's been pretty fun so far. I've also been rewatching Ted Lasso to get ready for season 3. Love the pod. Keep up the great work.
Well, that was going to be my answer because at the time of recording, Ted Lasso has just came out last night. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it tonight and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, great.
But I wanted to do the same. I wanted to rewatch the first 2 seasons, but I didn't. And so now I'm just going to go in blind, forgetting some stuff, hopefully remembering a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
remember
it'll be
it.
Fine.
You'll pick it up.
Fuck, it's a good show.
I'll end up watching that too. But lately I've just gone back to Pennyworth. The Origin of Batman's Butler, which is basically like...
You watch it in the bath?
It may as well be called Young Michael Caine, because that's kind of... He's a Cockney. He's the Cockney version of Alfred Pennyworth.
Right.
And I've been watching Yellowstone. I watched the Wu-Tang Clan series, An American Saga. Yeah, they're probably the 3 ones I've been binging lately.
Over the last few days, I've binged Andor, the Star Wars show.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I got 2 to go. Loving it.
Nice.
Loving that. Been watching Poker Face.
Oh, yeah, I've also been watching that, which I've been very much enjoying.
And slowly trying to catch up to Succession because the new season's out. Or starting to come out. Yeah, I'm finally getting it. I'm finally getting that. And can I just say... What a fantastic impression. I get it now. I love it. It's great. It's a great show.
Yeah, I love that show.
And also I've been watching a bit of Baywatch on that free. We talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
On air. Can't remember. I've told you both about it because it was my obsession for a while. There I've managed to pull myself back slightly. But my TV comes with free digital channels and one of them plays Baywatch 24/7. And that was the channel that was on when you turned the TV on. And I'd always just get hooked because I'd be like, oh, watch something on one of the streaming services. TV on. I'm sitting there with a toasted sandwich in hand. 45 minutes later, I finished the episode.
Yeah. But Baywatch. Not the toasted sandwich.
No.
He's a slow eater.
I haven't watched a lot of it. I think I watched some of it back in the day, but it feels like it's probably comfort TV.
Yeah, so easy to watch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love shows with sunshine. Anything set in California.
Yeah, and and I'm not kidding, every episode has a montage that doesn't need to be there of sexy people to music. They're just, and it's like a full 2 minutes. They're just like, obviously we're short every week. It's amazing.
That's what Yellowstone does the same, only it's horse riders. And they're doing these horse tricks. One of them is that the horse runs real fast and then drops its back legs to skid, and they just show it so much. I'm like, all right, we get it.
It'll be fine if the episode was 40 seconds short.
All these horses spinning around, and they're just these long montages.
So weird.
And then someone like, oh, now that is a great horse. Like, yeah, it's great. We've seen this. I get it. They're great horses. It spins around. It skids.
It's so weird.
I'm saying the same thing. We get it. The people, they're sexy on the beach. We
the
get
horses,
it.
Get back they're to sexy. The
plot. Look, exactly. Get back to the jet ski accident.
Oh, yeah, and I feel the same, but it's like streaming services don't have a time to fill.
No, exactly. They had to fill it back in the day. You don't need to anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Austin, for that question. No one else had any binging things? We've said our pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a few
as
there.
We went lifted, I'm like, I've been watching too much TV lately,
yeah,
obviously.
I've got nothing going at the moment.
Just writing a festival show.
I mean, yeah, come, buy tickets.
Finally, from Ryan Butterfield, a.k.a. Senior Chief Submariner.
And Ryan is Butterfield.
And Ryan's got a suggestion. So we've got four different ones this week. Recipe, fact, question, suggestion. Ryan writes, go listen to We Are Marvel with Justin and Jeremy, where they discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. And final question here. Any update on the US tour?
Well, the short answer is no.
No.
No real update.
Nah.
Unfortunately, we're still in our conversation with our amazing contact over there, producer. And he's had meetings with lawyers. And, hopefully going to happen.
Fingers crossed.
At some point.
Yes.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, that it hopefully will happen at some point.
Yep.
And we're sorry that it's taken so freaking long. Thank you very much, Ryan, Austin, Tim and Phil. Tom and Fol.
Tom and Fol.
From the hit New Zealand radio show. That old Tony Martin sketch, remember that? Hello, Tom. Hello, Fol. Hello, Fol. Hello, Tom. And then they did it the one week. They did a prank call to the Mossing Persons Agency.
Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'd like to report a Mossing pair of jandals.
We've just lost our entire New Zealand audience.
No, but the guy does it. The guy does it. It's a Kiwi, so it's okay.
And are you?
No, I'm not, but I'm doing...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You're part of the problem.
Sorry, that's been a bit of a misunderstanding. This is a Mossing Persons Agency, whereas a jandal is a comfy bit of footwear. It's fucking so good. All right, the next thing we like to do is shout out to a few of our other great patron supporters. Jess, you know, I'm going to come up with a game.
Yeah, I'm thinking like their nickname.
It's got to be. Tall boy and all that.
Nah.
Oh, so good. All right.
If you're watching them on CCTV, what are you going to call them?
Exactly right.
That's fantastic.
Not watching them on CCTV. Trying to figure out who they are. You know, not a creepy way.
Not a creepy way, but you see them do a crime, you go, like, okay. Who's that? That's...
I'm going to call this guy the bin man.
Oh, my God.
That's
don't burn
one.
Too many.
Fuck. Okay.
All right. First up, I'd love to thank from Reno in Nevada. In the United States, it's Morgan Bell.
Oh, the biggest little city in the world. Morgan Bell is the Pied Piper.
That's good.
Yeah, that's real good. Because like he wears one of those funny little hats and has a pipe.
And has a pipe and looks like he's pieing along.
Yep. Thank you so much, Morgan. I'd also love to thank, from address unknown.
Oh,
okay. I can only assume from somewhere deep within the Fortress of the Moles, it's Mick McCaffrey.
The Mole Man.
The Mole Man. He's the digger.
Yeah.
So he's the tunnel. He tunnels.
Yeah.
And his holes are both deep and high because they go into the wall, obviously. And everyone would be able to figure that out. And if you couldn't, what's wrong with you? Mick, the Mole Man McCaffrey. Ooh. I reckon Mick might take that on.
That's great.
Yeah, that works. Triple M. Triple M. on your mic. And finally from me, I'd love to thank from Hamilton in Ohio, God's country itself. Man, I can't believe that people in Ohio listen to our silly little show, but I really appreciate that they do. I'd love to thank Jonathan Peelman.
Oh, that's great. What about Slick Rick?
Oh!
Got slick back hair?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, they got slick.
Slick.
That's Slick Rick.
That's Slick Rick.
And then they find out his name's Jonathan and they're like, oh. I like Slick Rick.
Yeah, Slick Rick's a good name.
Can we call you Rick?
Oh, can we call you the Peel Man? Because that's cool.
Yeah.
Rick Peel Man. That's better.
Slick Rick Peel Man.
Banana Boy. Jess, you want to thank a few of our great supporters? No, hey, how about Dave?
Yeah, I'll take it from here. My Jess has a very big yawn.
I thought I could recover from that.
She's going to sleep on the job. Okay.
It was a comical yawn. I would like to thank from Reed in the Australian Capital Territory, it's Emma Drumgold.
What a name.
Holy love that moly. Name, Emma. Emma Drumgold.
Emma Drumgold. I'm going to call her What do you call a brick of gold again?
A bullion?
The bullion.
Is that what a brick of gold is called?
Or a bar? You weren't looking for the word bar, were you?
No, I think I was looking for bullion. Yeah. I reckon the bullion's good.
The bullion's good. Yeah, love that a lot. It's got a glimmer about it.
Yeah. Emma the Bullion Drum Gold.
Love that.
It's probably because she's got gold in her name, but still, I stand by it.
I would also like to thank from Provo in Utah.
Give me two.
I would like to thank, this is maybe the first we've ever had a whole family here, looks like, Lauren, Joe, and Griffin Gibb.
Oh, the Bee Gees.
You got to call them the Bee Gees. That's perfect.
I've been listening to the Bee Gees a lot this week, and they're so good.
They're great.
I just used to think they were kind of fun and silly, but I'm like, geez, how many great songs have they written?
I know. It's a bit
like
ABBA.
A bunch of different genres, and I only just found this out. They wrote Islands in the Stream.
They wrote it. Really?
Yeah. I love a band who writes a bunch of hits for themselves but also has spares to give away to other artists.
Like handball it off to someone else. You can make that.
Handball it off to a little artist like Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Who also writes hits for herself and others.
She's
incredible.
Prolific.
I think, because I was thinking that too. I'm like, Dolly wouldn't have needed it. Someone to write it. And it was for Kenny. It was on Kenny Rogers' album, I think. Right. She was the guest on it. But, geez, she made it her own. I'll tell you that much.
Fucking hell.
Jeez, these guys. And did you know what it references, Islands in the Stream?
Pissing?
Apparently, it's an Ernest Hemingway title.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Or some other writer. Or some famous writer. I'll look that up while you're coming up with a name. Oh, we're calling them the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees. That's one good stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm Lauren Joe. And Griffin Gibb.
He's so good at learning words.
I've been thinking of that song a bit because talking about, what's the line? By the way I walk and that guy's gait.
Yes.
That kept ringing through my head when you were saying that.
That's funny.
And going nowhere. And finally, I would like to thank, from Kennebunk in Maine.
Ooh.
Great to have some listeners all the way out in Maine. I would like to thank Papa Kilbasa, a.k.a. The... And then it ends.
Wow.
Papa Kilbasa, aka the.
We'll never know, also known as. That's exciting. Papa Kilbasa.
Papa Kilbasa. What about the human salsa?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't know. Are
we thinking the dance move or the...
I was thinking the dip.
The dip. Hell yeah.
The human salsa.
Love that.
Because it looks...
The dip, the dance move?
The human salsa, because it's a great addition,
yep.
But it also can be a little spicy if you're not careful
with the
Papa Kilbasa, aka the human salsa.
Wow.
Yeah, are we talking medium heat?
That's my maximum.
Maximum is medium.
Maximum is medium. My God. Above maximum, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
It looks like, we're talking about LBJ's balls before. This video, I think it's supposedly a real phone call, and in it he's ordering pants, and he says... This is a real recording from August 9th, 1964, where he's ordering Hagar pants and says, and he's asked where the zipper ends. And he says, down where my nuts hang. And then he burps and says, back to my bunghole. That can't be real.
Back to my bunghole.
That can't be real.
That's Beavis and Butthead.
Back to my bunghole.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that, the bunghole of that.
In this photo, he looks like your dad.
He does look a bit like my dad.
Okay.
Can you picture your dad saying something like that?
Not far off.
Back to my bunghole.
Anyway, back to my bunghole.
Enough about that. Let's get back to my bunghole.
I feel like that's going to be another one of those things that just enters the do-go-on vernacular.
Back to my
much
bunghole.
Like, now watch this drive.
US presidents.
Yeah, they're ripe for comedy.
So much gold.
May I thank some people?
I'd love if you did.
I would love to thank, from Bradley, West Virginia, Joshua Wilson.
Oh, Joshua Wilson.
The Mini Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
And he's also he's the driver.
The driver.
He's the stick man.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what the stick man is?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's also that's the logo of the Saints.
Stick man.
So is the nickname the stick man?
Mini Cooper.
Mini Cooper.
Sorry. Great.
But he's got an alternative nickname.
Yeah.
I would also love to thank, from Milton Keynes in Great Britain, Richie Bolton.
Richie Bolton.
That sounds like
thunder.
Thunder. That sounds like, yeah, like a mover and a shaker. I'm Richie Bolton.
Johnny Thunder.
Johnny Thunder.
Johnny Thunder.
Richie Bolton, you may know me as Johnny Thunder.
But the cops find out his real name is Richie Bolton. I go, happy with that.
That's actually pretty good.
That's actually pretty good.
That's such a good name.
And finally, to bring it all home, I would love to thank from Winterport. What's ME?
Ooh.
Oh, we're back in Maine. That's Maine again.
Oh, it is too. But, Winterport in Maine. Amy C.
Amy C.
The top hat.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, that is good. Based on?
She wears like these sort of special socks that have little pictures of top hats on them.
That's actually really cute. Yeah.
That's so cute. The top hat. Great to have a couple of listeners out in Maine.
Yeah.
All the way out east.
Where one of our famous episodes, I don't know why I said famous, one of our episodes was set, the one about the Stranger of North Pond.
That's right. Mm.
That's the reason why I know where Maine is, which is like right up northeast.
Great to have you all on board out in Maine.
Thank you so much to Amy, Richie, Joshua, Papa, Lauren, Joe, Griffin, Emma, Jonathan, Mick, and Morgan. And last but not least, we need to welcome in some Triptych Club members. How does the Triptych Club work again, Dave?
Well, these people have been on the shout-out level or above for 3 consecutive years. They've already had their shout-out, but to say thank you again, we shout them out this time, putting them into our club/Hall of Fame/establishment/hangout place. It's a real theater of the mind type thing. We've got a bar where everyone has already been in the club is hanging out. We have musical guests. We have food. We have drinks. And we also hype them up on their way in. Jess usually comes up with a cocktail and or a bit of food that we're serving weekly.
I've got a cocktail called the Governor, and I'm serving it in a shoe. Now that we had one of the fact quotes or questions as a recipe, I will add the mad dog to it. But again, I will serve that in a shoe.
You've just got a surplus of shoes.
I bought a lot of shoes.
You just did a job. Well, you thought you were stealing diamonds.
Yeah.
Open all the boxes.
It's all shoes.
It's all shoes.
Well, to be fair, I did rob a shoe factory. But I don't know what I was thinking. Honestly, stop. Like, you shouldn't be letting me out. Who knows what I'll do.
And Dave, you normally book a band for the after party?
Yeah, this week, you're never going to believe it. I have booked an incredible band with a back catalogue of hits as long as your arm. We've got Madness dropping by.
Whoa!
Who will be opening with their song, Michael Caine.
My name is Michael Caine. Great song. Love that song.
Love that song.
Love that band.
And from there on, you know, the hits just keep coming.
Do you like how I just said it in my voice?
Yeah, you put your own spin on it.
My name is Michael Caine.
There it is.
Great. Well, we've got a record amount of inductees this week. Dave, are you ready?
Thank you so much to all these people for sticking with us for 3 years, and I will try and hype you up.
So if people want to picture it, I'm on the door. I've got a clipboard. I've got a list of names, inductees. I'm going to read your names out. I'm going to lift a velvet rope, welcome you in. Dave's on the stage. He's emceeing the evening. He's going to hype you up as you come in. All the other past inductees are around chanting along. Having a great time. Jess is behind the bar, but she's also behind the Dave.
Yeah.
And she is
patting him on the bum,
hyping up the hype man.
Yep.
All right. So if we're ready to go, Dave, you feeling ready?
I'm feeling ready. Let's rock.
All right. First up, I'd love to welcome in from Perth in Western Australia. It's Deanne.
Deanne. I'm Fleanne with Deanne. I thought you were going to say Diane. I was going to say I'm Fly-Anne with Diane.
You stuck with it anyway. Diane or Deanne, welcome
in. Deanne, I'm a fan. That's what I would have said.
Yeah.
I'd also love to thank from Hawthorne East in Victoria, Australia, it's Eliza Knox.
I would never Knox this, Eliza.
No.
I would only praise them.
Woo.
Please, make yourself at home. From Newport in Great Britain, it's Tom Tithcott John.
Newport, give me two. Tom Tithcott John.
From Killarney Heights in New South Wales, Australia, it's Brianna.
Oh, this night is hitting new Killarney Heights.
Yes.
With Brianna.
From Collaroy in New South Wales, Australia, it's Aaron Hourigan.
I didn't know you were going to say that.
Would you say that? Hourigan?
Yeah, Hourigan.
Hourigan Durigan. Aaron, you're my Burigan.
Okay. Woo! Keep it going, Maddie. Yes.
From Overstrand in Norfolk in Great Britain, it's Eleanor Hairsign.
I feel like that this night was going to be understrand, but now it's overstrand.
Yeah, we're a capacity of strand.
From London in Great Britain, it's Sheehan.
Sheehan, great to see him.
Woo!
From South Bend in Indiana in the United States, it's Carl D. Brownell. Brownell.
Brownell, I never frownell when I see Kyle.
From Ryde in New South Wales, Australia, it's Rhianna Neal.
Well, this night is going for a ride with Rhianna Neal.
Yeah.
From Croydon Hills, Victoria, Australia, it's Emma and Matt.
Emma and Matt, more like Dilemma and Cat.
From Liverpool in Great Britain, it's Jay Johnson.
You can call him Jay, or you can call him Johnson. You can call him Jay Johnson. It's Jay Johnson.
How does he do it? From Mitcham in Victoria, Australia, it's Dan Marshall.
The Marshall of fun is here, by which I mean Dan.
Yeah.
From address unknown, I can only assume from deep within the fortress of the moles, it's Judah.
Judah. We've never done so many. I feel overwhelmed. Judah, you are true to me. True to me. True to me. Judah me.
From Stourbridge in Great Britain, Claire Johnson.
We're only halfway. Claire Johnson. I thought I couldn't bear this night, but now I'm going to Claire this night. And I'm going to declare this night Claire Johnson night.
From Basingstoke in Great Britain, it's John Coutier.
John Coutier.
Or John Coutelier.
Oh, let's go with Coutier. This night couldn't get any more beautier. It kind of sounds like beautiful, I guess.
Also from address unknown, probably from deep within the fortress of the moles, it's Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams, this guy's got style. More like Style Williams.
Yeah, got it.
Also from deep within the fortress of the moles, it's Hayden Little.
Nothing little about this personality.
Big balls.
You're too big.
To the bunghole. Back to the bunghole.
Back to the bunghole. Whenever we're off topic, back to the bunghole. That's the new pod. Not Dougal, it's back to the bunghole.
From Hopkins in maybe Minnesota in the United States, it's Jacob.
World's best Hopkins. And I'm not talking about Sir Anthony. I'm talking about Jacob.
Yes.
From Hopkins.
From Edmund in Oklahoma in the United States, it's Jason Wells.
Well, this night was going badly, but now it's going well. Jason Wells.
From Brighton in the United States, Michigan maybe, it's Glenn Sims.
Glenn Sims. I would give this person 10. What runs at Sims that isn't weird?
Bins.
10. Yeah, I give Glenn 10 bins.
Full of money.
Yeah, yeah. Full of, exactly,
yes,
wheelie bins.
Full of cash.
Back to the episode. This
nailed
is good.
It,
keep
yes.
it going.
From
keep it going.
Smythesdale in Victoria, Australia.
So
it's Nicola Loader.
Well, load her up. Nicola's here.
Yep.
From Macclesfield in Great Britain, it's Rachel Hunt.
We're back in the hunt with Rachel.
From deep within the fortress of the moles, it's Esther.
Esther, haven't met anyone bester.
From Indianapolis in Indiana, United States, it's Chancellor Duval.
Oh, Chancellor Duval.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm going to give this person a third, fourth, a fifth chance. They're that good.
Wow.
Chancellor Duval.
From Seattle in Washington in the United States, it's Derek Kozak.
More like Derek Kodak moment. Let's get a photo.
So beautiful.
Yes.
From deep within the fortress of the moles, it's Jess.
Jess, it's probably the best Jess I've ever met.
How fucking dare you?
Also from Mole Land, it's Mark Hutchinson.
It's definitely the best Mark I've ever met. Oh, this person's hit the mark.
There it is.
And finally, from Tyler in Texas in the United States, it's Jake Hansen.
Jake Hansen. More like Jake Handsome.
There it is.
Mop, Jake.
Applause for Dave Watergate.
Well played there,
gosh,
Dave.
I feel like my brain is on fire.
Once again,
not
I'd
in
love
a good way.
Jake, Mark, Jess, Derek, Chancellor, Esther, Rachel, Nicola, Glenn, Jason, Jacob, Hayden, Kyle, John, Claire, Judah, Dan, Jay, Emma and Matt, Rhiannon, Kyle, Sheehan, Eleanor, Erin, Brianna, Tom, Eliza, Deanne. And Deanne. Deanne was the last one. Or Diane.
Or Diane.
Welcome all into the club. Make yourselves at home. Please grab a boot full of liquid from the bar.
And sorry about that.
Enjoy a bit of madness.
Oh, yeah. One step beyond. Can't wait. taking requests?
Absolutely, yeah.
So good. I'd love
Can
to
I
hear...
do Up There Kazali?
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I'd love to hear Madness style Up There Kazali. I'd love to hear Baggy Trousers.
Let's put it on the list.
All right, great. Anything we need to tell people before we head off? You two?
That we love them, that yes. they can suggest a topic. There's a link in the show notes. It's also on our website, Do Go On Pod, where you can find all the info about live shows. You can find us on social media at Do Go On Pod. And that's it.
Yeah. Stick that's around it. For some possible outtakes after the song.
We're all broken, Dave. Boot at home.
Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, also thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye. The cabinets were bolted to the floor and to the ceiling, making them incredibly sturdy.
At least you caught yourself on a...
I nearly didn't.
On last week's episode, when I went through, I said some words wrong and I just deleted the sentences.
Because you just powered on?
Yeah.
Let me try again. The cabinets were bolted to the floor and to the ceiling.
Oh, we got to put this in at the end of the episode.
We need it. This is blooper section. Jess loves a blooper section.
I do love bloopers.
This is a secret track for sure.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.